Good morning, all of you.
Good morning.
Nice to see all of you. The last time I was with you was in March, and that's about 6 months ago. So I'm thankful that this morning I can stand up speaking to you again. Although I may have some handicap, as you hear, my voice is very hoarse. This is the condition that I have to face every time I speak, but hopefully my voice will also last throughout the whole session. Anyway, the Lord has been good, has been gracious. So I have a lot to tell you. My voice, hope it will last, but let's pray that the Lord will give me the strength to go through all this. Now, yes, I'm still continuing on my theme, the Christian priesthood, in Hebrews 10:19-25. Now, I would not like to recapitulate because I have so many things to tell you today. So remember, I already, I think 2 years ago, started this series, and I started with the character of the Christian priesthood from Hebrews 10:19-20, where we read, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. We have boldness to enter because we have a great high priest who himself has entered into the Holy of Holies before us. So with him inside already, we now have this boldness to enter in. But let's remember that while we have the privilege and the honor of going into the very presence of God, there are certain conditions that we must fulfill, because God is a holy God. And he that calleth us is holy, therefore we must be holy. True, we have no more conditions to enter into the presence of God because Jesus Christ died for us. Jesus Christ had gone into the Holy of Holies for us. But now to come into his presence, to speak to him, we need to fulfill certain conditions. And what are they? Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. Let us trust him first. Let us be assured that when we go into his presence, we will be accepted. But let us also be sure that we are holy because he is holy, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And now we come to today's study, the commitment of priests in Hebrews 10:23-25. And we read, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise." Today we have time only to consider this part of the verse. Next week we shall consider the rest of the passage. So we shall study, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. By profession I mean not only the fact that we profess ourselves to be Christians, to belong to him, but I would like to refer in a special way this profession to the profession that we are engaged in the secular world. Today we are teachers, we are engineers, we are doctors, we are nurses, we are in all sorts of professions. Now, let's hold fast that profession in relation to the spiritual profession that we are Christians, that we may show forth the one whom we believe in without wavering. And we will face challenges, we will face circumstances, but remember this: he is faithful that promised. He has promised us that whatever profession we are in, if we put him first, then he will be with us. So this is our text. And this morning I will do something which I usually do not do in other assemblies, but you are privileged to listen to it, and that is my testimony. I'll tell you afterwards. So let us hold fast the profession of our faith. How I went, the Lord led me on to hold fast this profession. not only the profession of my faith, but the profession of my faith as a Christian teacher, as a Christian in my profession. This is what is my burden this morning to all of us. And He is faithful to help me through all those various stages to be what He wants me to be. Alright, but first of all, what was that that stirred me up? It was a text in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or worship. And be ye not transformed to this world, but be ye conformed, that we may prove what is the good, perfect will of God. This is what I shall be speaking on throughout the rest of this meeting. Doing the perfect will of God. Is it possible for us to do the will of God? In the first place, is it possible for us to know the will of God? No, I'm speaking to all of you, individually, personally. Because this is important. We talk often of the will of God, the will of God. Can we know it? How do we know it? Will we be able to do it, the will of God? This is my burden this morning. And we will find it good, acceptable, and perfect if we do the will of God. Now, the last time I was here, I addressed my burden mostly to those in their teens up to 20 years old. According to what Paul wrote to Timothy, let no one despise your youth. Be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith and purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, doctrine. And address this particularly to the young people, young adults, from teen up to about 20, challenging you all to do what you can for the Lord. Don't think that because you are young, you cannot. And I did it, and I gave you my testimony of how I did it. Today, I may touch a bit on it, and then go on to challenge the older ones. Because the word youth, let no man despise your youth. Some commentators tell me that this word youth does not refer to a teenage group of people. But actually, Timothy was about 40 years old already. So this morning, I'm going to address particularly to all those 21 and above, to 40 years old, to 50 years old, to the time when they retire. In other words, particularly all of you here, personally, I'm going to speak to you from my heart, to your heart, that you may know and do the will of God and see that it is good, perfect, and acceptable. Right. For this, you will start off. How do you know the will of God? Well, basically, please don't talk about the will of God if you are not prepared to give your heart to the Lord. That is basic. If you are not prepared to give your heart and your life to the Lord, don't talk about the will of God, because the will of God demands your heart and your life. The will of God, firstly, demands a person. And that's why it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You must be prepared. Lord, I'm going to be this living sacrifice. Sacrifice myself and be a living sacrifice from day to day. So there must be the readiness to sacrifice yourself. Secondly, there must be ready to master the Word of God, to read the Word of God, to master the Word of God. Because the will of God can only be found in the Word of God. The will of God is not found in dreams. The will of God is not found in visions. The will of God is found in the Word. And as you read the Word, you will know the will of God. So if you are not prepared to read the Word of God, please don't talk to me about the will of God. It's not true. It is just something that you say only. But if you really want to do the will of God, then be serious with reading God's Word, studying God's Word. Then, do just stay there. As you read the Word of God, to find out the will of God, do the work of God. It's important. That must be applied. It's not just mere reading and knowing. It must be applied to what you are doing. It must be practical and personal and real, so that what you are what you know about God's will for your life, you put to practice to be what you are in life. And then that means you have got to go out. You have got to go out to reach to people. Because the will of God essentially manifests itself through my relationship with other people. God uses us to speak to other people. So that is the will of God essentially. Personal will of God. Now, let's go on. I already spoke to you the last time of how I came to know the Lord in 1950, and I was baptized just 1 month later in October, same year. Now that means today I am 85 years old. I have been a Christian for over 70 years, and I'm speaking to all of you here, young and old, on the basis that I have been a Christian 70 years old, and the Lord has been faithful to His promises to keep me where I am, to be what He wants me to be. And I believe that He can do the same to you if you take the step to give your life to Him. Now I come to stage two of my life. I only had time to touch on it last year, the last time I saw you. But today I'll continue stage two, my consecration. As I said, you must be prepared to give your life to the Lord, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by your mercies of God, that you present your bodies. You must consecrate your life to the Lord. How did that happen? I'll tell you to me. So, this is what is meant by consecration: seeking and proving the will of God to be what He wants you to be. I told you last time I was with you that I was saved in 1950 when I was in Penang Free School. I was in Senate 6C. Now, in Penang Free School, I told you also that the classes were all streamed. A, B, C. The cleverest will go to A. So you know how clever I was when I went to C. But then it was much better because the last class was K. 6K. Then that's 6K. So not so bad. I was 16. I was a cop. Then, now, that year I came to know the Lord. And, you know, like young people, wow, very active, very running around with activities, YP activities here and YP activities there, very active physically, to the extent that my academic studies were affected. I did not do my study. And then seven, I fell in my exam. I became a donkey. I went from 6C, I went to 7D. My father threatened me. You do not do your studies, I will stop you from going to church. No more activities. Standard 8, the Lord spoke to me in Romans. I was doing the Emmaus Bible course, and the Lord spoke to me, and then I was answering a question. Write a thesis of 500 words on Romans, and I wrote. When I wrote that answer to the questions in the Emmaus Bible course, the Lord spoke to me, and I remember that midnight when I just slaughtered my life as I wrote a thesis on Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And from that time onwards, the Lord changed my life. That was a life now, from now onwards, to be lived for Him. And it came so different. So after that, I said to my father, "Father, give me one more year. Let me prove to you by next year I will improve myself. I'll serve." You see, you cannot be honoring the Lord when you're just running around and not doing well in your personal life. So I told the Lord, I told my father that I would improve. And at the end of standard 8, I did so well from a D class, a donkey class, I came to A class. S from 5A, your term now. At that time was senior Cambridge A. So A class. But A class was no good to me because A class I had to do double credit science and double credit mathematics. Standard 8 I did not do because I was not there. So if I took senior, I went to SCA, senior Cambridge A class, then I would have to do double credit maths and double credit science, additional maths, in other words. I could not do it because I never did the basic thing. So I went to see the headmaster after consulting the Lord, of course, seeking his will, to ask to be demoted from an A class, from an S, to a bull. So I became a bull because I was born in the year of the bull. So I became a bull, B class. And that was a wise decision that I made, because later on in Form 5, or Form 5, Senior Cambridge, I took my exam in the Cambridge School Certificate. I was able to take Health Science, which was available in Standard 8, and I got a distinction in Health Science for my Cambridge paper. And that was the only A I got in the Cambridge Certificate. Today, people get 10 A's. 11 A's. I got him 1 A. But I got a grade 1 certificate. I got a grade 1 certificate. And that was the best and the highest qualification academically that I ever got. See how high I went up academically? Only from 5. Right. Okay. So I became, I was very serious after from 4 or 28 at the time, because I consecrated my life to the Lord, and I said, Lord, my life is yours. And because of that, I said, Lord, knowing that next year I would have to leave school, Lord, what would you like to me to be? And I read the word of God, and it came again and again and again and again, teach, teacher, teaching, teach, teacher, teaching. So I thought, Lord, if you want me to be a teacher, you open up the way for me. You open up the way for me. I'm not going to do much by effort, but you are going to open up the way for me. And at the end of Form Senior Certificate, a notice came from the headmaster's office. All those who want to be teachers, send your names to the office through your monitor. I gave my name, I became a teacher. Very easy. Never even wrote a letter of application. The Lord opened the way. If you are prepared to do His will, the Lord opened the way. Please, don't smile and don't laugh and think that it's impossible, it's ridiculous, because I'm going to show you again and again how He opened the door for me in this kind of way. Yes, He just opened the way for me. All right, so I became a teacher. So, 1953, I was in school. 1954, I became a teacher, trainee teacher. And you know how, where the department posted me? Posted me to Barnabas Malay School to teach English. Malay school. That would mean I had to work on a Sunday, holiday on a Friday. How could that be? I was at that time in the my Bible class, I was in the Bible class group and studying the Bible, and we told ourselves, never study on a Sunday. Keep the Sunday holy unto the Lord. Never do any other thing apart from the Lord's service on a Sunday. Sunday teaching every Sunday like that? How can it be possible? Lord, I'm going to do your will. How can you ask me to do something that is not in your will and not in your word? I want to honor you by keeping Sunday, and here you are telling me to work on a Sunday, teaching English in a Malay school. I went to see the organizer of schools, Mr. Ikebe. I told him, he's a Methodist. Sir, you are a Christian, I'm a Christian, and you know how important Sunday is to a Christian. Please, I don't want to teach on a Sunday. I want to go back to the normal school. And so enough, 1 week after in Barnabas English School, a Malay school, within the week, he pushed me back to Wellesley Primary School. And I was there, happily enjoying myself, free on a Sunday to do my Bible study and to do whatever Christian work I could do. And Friday was a teaching day for me. See how the Lord worked for me? 1 week, I thought I was very clever already, because I managed to get up on a Sunday teaching. The Lord will teach you His lesson if you are prepared to do His will. So, during those 2 years, 1954 to 56, when I was doing probation, I was greatly involved in the Lord's work. I went with the assembly to have open air services, traveling in the gospel van, going all over Penang Island from Jotong right up to Batu Fringgi, Telok Bahang, and then every week I open every month on the second Saturday of every month, open service at Gurney Drive, and I started preaching. I was a probationary teacher. A probationary teacher would be able to face the public, and I spoke in public. In the open air services, in Jotong, and so on, Perak Road, and explaining during Easter time. So, I was already using myself for the Lord's service. Then, one day, we were having an open air service at Chisholm Road Housing Estate in the playground there. And then I saw so many children, Mr. Tan Wah King, Mr. S.S. Adams, with me. We were talking how nice it would be if we could have a Sunday school there. And there was a Christian there, and we approached Mr. Yap Chong, can we use your home for a Sunday school? Yes, of course, use my garage. That was the beginning of the Island Glades Gospel Center. At first, it was very poorly arranged because we were not prepared to sacrifice our time. Mr. Joaquin one Sunday, Mr. Fred Phillips one Sunday, Mr. S.S. Adams one Sunday, and myself one Sunday. Fifth Sunday, open Sunday, I take over. Not too good. This arrangement and the attendance never grew. It's still about in the 20s. Then I said, I must do something with my knowledge of teaching, learned in my probation course. I said, I'll do something. And at the age of 19, I was able to hold an open-air Sunday school children's campaign for 5 days, 5 evenings. I spoke, and I got it. I'll show you a picture afterwards. And then, and at night, I had a, we didn't have a computer, but we had a lantern service, throwing lantern lights, slides on the screen. And from that time onwards, we had the Sunday school attendance built up from 20 at the beginning to over 70, and a regular attendance of 5 to 6 classes every Sunday, beginning of Island Grace Gospel Center. Well, that's how I used what I was trained to do professionally for the Lord's work. Okay. I'll talk about that later on. Then 57, I qualified. 56, 54, 56, I was a probation. 57, 58, I qualified. So 57, I received the news. I had become now a fully qualified teacher, no more on probation. And Department of Education took advantage of me. Now this is the time to send him to a place where nobody would like to go. Because he just passed. So I got my first posting as a qualified teacher. And you know where? Bagan Ajam Malay School. That's not enough. The Lord said, I must teach you a lesson. The thought I'd send you to Barnabas Malay School, you lasted there only 1 week. One school, one week only. Now, you go to Bagan Ajam Malay School, not enough. You go and teach English there as well as Bagan Ajam Malay School. Two schools at one time, on one day. And the Lord taught me, you don't keep Sunday as a ritual. Sunday is a day that it must be used for the Lord. So it may be you carrying on your career and so on, but use it for the Lord. And so I was sent for 2 years to Bakan Jemaah and Bakan Ajam in Batuas to teach Malay. But look at the reason that the Lord had. Before I was sent to Butterworth, while I was in Penang, during my probation, I was involved in Bible class, and then after that, I would go to Butterworth. I was already involved in Butterworth. Every Sunday at 2 p.m., I would take my bicycle and then ride up to the pier, and then from there walk 1 mile with an accordion to Butterworth Sunday School to teach there. I was doing the work. But now with my new posting, I would go there early morning at 7 o'clock to teach in school. 2 o'clock, stay back. 1 o'clock, stay back. 2 o'clock, have lunch with a Christian's home. And then 3 o'clock, Sunday school. The Lord was perfect. He had an ultimate purpose. That while I was stationed in Barnabas as a professional teacher, He was using me as a Sunday school teacher in Butterworth Sunday School. And at that time, the Sunday school superintendent was Mr. Chang Hong Leong. He was my colleague as a teacher. He applied to go to university in England for art education, and there was no one taking care of Butterworth Gospel Hall, and the Lord sent me there to take over as superintendent. You see, the Lord has His purpose. If you are prepared, but of course, I suffered. I got to travel for 2 years like this. Okay, that's how the Lord worked. Then, at the end of the second year, I told the Lord, "Lord, it's time for me. Please. It's so difficult every Sunday to travel to Butterworth. At that time, you don't have the ferry, the ferry which could reverse and up and down. It's a one-way ferry, up and then reverse back and so on. It was a long, long time, and I had to walk from the pier to the Sunday school. So I said, "Lord, I'm tired." And then every Friday, I had a Bible class there as well. So I said, "Lord, please send me back." "Okay, you want to send me back?" I applied for a transfer back. The chief education officer said to me, "Mr. Ang, you want transfer back? Okay. There's a vacancy now at Barnabas English School." "Barnabas? Again? Sir, please give me 1 week. Let me think over." Very daring, you know. So I went back. I said, "Lord, how can you send me back to Barnabas again? After knowing that I do not like to go to Barnabas, and you're sending me back again. Lord, what should I do? Please answer me, answer me." One whole week, I prayed very hard. I read the word of God. No answer. No answer. Then on that day and about that time, "Lord, it's time already for me to go. What shall I say? What shall I do?" No answer. So I went to see the CEO. "Sir, with regard to your posting me to Barnabas, I told you that I would like 1 week." "Oh yeah, the other one, oh, I remember now. No more discussion, you go." So I was posted. I went to Barnabas, not Barnabas Malay School, but Barnabas English School. I was there for 10 years. 10 years. And then during those 10 years, I was taken up by the organizer in the education department and told me, "Hey, you are good in audiovisual aids. Be a lecturer in conducting in-service courses for school teachers." I was good in audiovisual aids because I was a good Sunday school teacher. In Sunday school teaching, I used a lot of visual aids. So with that, I now could transfer that knowledge to in-service training for teachers. So I became a lecturer in in-service training for teachers. And the organizer said, "Oh, you are good. You should apply for professional training. Go to a specialist course." So he suggested that I went. I said, "Sure, I do not want to transfer outside Penang, you know. Butterworth enough already. Not outside Penang." "Oh, no, 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 don't worry, you come back." So I checked the history of the Specialty Teachers Training Institute. Of all those who qualified, every single year there were two groups there. One course was for the in-service course, and the other course was for the graduate course like me, like mine. So I traced the history, and I found that every graduate from the basic course was sent out of Penang, and everyone that was in the graduate course was sent back to the home state. Good. if I go, I would be sent back to my home state. So I applied 1 year. So I went from Penang to the Specialist Teachers Training Institute in Churras, PJ. At the end of the year, I got my posting. But during the time, I'll tell you later on. At the end of the year, I got my posting, and you know what happened? The Minister of Education can never forget his name, K. Johari. He came up with a policy. From this year onwards, all those who graduate from Special Teachers Training Institute will be sent out, and all those at basic course will be sent home. First time, send me out again. And I got my posting. Where? Bentong, Tamalo, Muntakap, Pahang. Official posting was to Pahang. I went to Kuantan to report. I said, oh, we have made a mistake. You are supposed to go to Rau, but you are not supposed to go to Muntakap. But I had already posted Muntakap because I knew I worked there in Tamalo, Christian work. So I said to the chief education officer, you have made a mistake, please let your mistake remain. Please allow me to stay in Muntakap. Don't send me to Rao. And I was in Muntakap, and then 6 months away was Tamalo. And Tamalo had a church there. Muntakap also had an informal church there. So Tamalo was a church there, and I said I would go to Tamalo, and they had, for the first time, applied to be with the assembly. It was an intercollegiate, Roman Catholics, Lutherans, Church of England, all sorts, they were there. And they wanted to go to be an assembly church. But Jan Imbi was not prepared to help them. Mr. Roger Dauber, who was there before, had left. So there was no one to help Dr. Ng Eng Kee, a Methodist, to bring the church up as an assembly. And who else to rely on? Ang Kim Cheng, posted there from Penang, from KL there. And the moment I reached there to say hello to the people, I was so very sad. I was drawn away from my wife, from my daughter, 3 months old, and all alone, traveled 40 miles on Bentong Road, winding road, to Tamalo. At the end, he said, praise the Lord, you are here. I said, what, praise the Lord? I'm crying already in my heart. You praise the Lord. They have been praying for a teacher from the assembly to come and help them to establish assembly work. And the Lord sent me. Now, you must be prepared. When you are prepared to do the Lord's will, you must be prepared for all the hardships. You must be prepared for all these things. But you must also be ready to prepare yourself to use all that knowledge professionally that you have learned for the Lord's work. Okay, we must go on. So from Penang, we went to Pahang, and there's Tamalo Gospel Chapel. Alright. Actually, when I was posted to the East Coast, Tamalo, the policy of the education department was to send every teacher to the East Coast experience 5 years or 7 years. After they are trained, after they have served there for 5 to 7 years, then send them back. After 1 year, okay, enough already. Separated from wife, separated from my 3-month daughter. Every time I came back to see her, she cried because there was a stranger wanting to hold her in her hands, and she refused. So, Lord, please send me back. I've been here 1 year already, 1 full year. So I went to see the education department. Please allow me back. He wanted this. No, sorry. So I stayed back. I stayed back for a few months. I continued to pray. Then I heard that the CEO had changed. A new one had come in. So I went again. Sir, And whom did I see? In the sitting in the CEO office, my former form teacher from Penang Free School, Tan Boon Ding. So, please, I've been here already for so long. I know what it is to transfer, to stay here. Please, can you transfer me back? Of course, I know. I feel the same now. I do not like to come to here. But you, I know. Go back, go back, go back. So I got my transfer May the 1st. People could not believe me. How can you ever go back to your home state after 1 year when others have taken 5 years or 7 years? You must be pulling cables. You must be pulling cables. Yes, I did. I pulled a lot of cables high up there from heaven. I pulled a lot of cables and got it. Yes, I got my transfer May the 1st, 1969. I came back. And you know what happened on the... What date?
13th, 1969.
Imagine what would happen if I were there. In Pahang. No email, no. Phone are so expensive. Telegram, that's what we did. The days. And yet, the Lord was kind to transfer me at the right time to the right place. And I went to Penang Free School as a teacher. So, the flight to freedom to Penang Free School, and they thought I was pulling cables when I was not. Actually, I was pulling the high cable up there. All right. Then, I was transferred to Penang Free School, and after that, supposed to be 12 years there. At the end of that period, and more things about Penang Free School, but I just want to mention something about my transfer. One of the senior teachers in Form 6, I always regarded her as arrogant, proud. I could not stand her. Because she had very good qualifications and teaching Form 6. And I was just a nobody, teaching the lower secondary. No degree, no qualification, nothing. And I thought she was looking down on me. Then she was asked, be a headmistress in a new school in Allenglades. She did not want. Like me, we didn't enjoy teaching. We did not like administration. She said, no, I don't want. Please, we need you to open up this new school. And she said, okay, I'll go if Mr. Ang goes. Mr. Ang, I hardly talked to her. I hardly knew her. I would pass by her in the corridor and I wouldn't only wish her. And the organizer of schools, my colleague, came to see me, hey, Mr. Ang, this lady wants you to be her assistant, to be appointed in a new school as headmaster and senior assistant. I said, no, don't send me. I won't go. And she said, Mr. Ang doesn't want to go. I won't go. So, that's a dilemma. The organizer came and pleaded with me. And in the end, after seeking the Lord and so on, okay, okay. And so she was transferred to Sekolah Menengah Hamid Khan. She became the headmistress and I was the senior assistant. I was not happy there. I wanted to go there for to transfer to a teacher's training college, MTC. I got the form there. And the form, liable to transfer outside Penang after birth. Forget it. So I put the form on my table. I put the form on my table. The new principal, the principal saw it. She took the form. Oh, she had used the form, she applied, and she got it. And I became the headmaster. Lord, I do not want to be the headmaster of Sekolah Menengah Hamid Khan. The Lord worked again. At that time, there was a transfer of a teacher to my school. Her husband is the principal of the Sri Pinang Teachers College. And her husband had told her that there was a vacancy for an audiovisual lecturer. And she knew that I was an audiovisually, I was an audiovisual specialist. So he suggested, ask Mr. Ang to come. I said, no, I'm not going. Teachers College, you get transferred out after that. One or 2 years in Pahang, enough already. So he told me, I tell Mr. Ang, you don't have to worry. I'll make sure you stay in Penang. You see how the Lord transferred people, work time, work according to his own time, open the doors when he wanted anyone to go through. And so that's what happened. And I landed myself in the teacher's training college to be a lecturer. And I had no qualifications, no from six qualifications, no university qualifications, and yet I was made head of a department. All the graduates in the college were all jealous. A lot of things to tell you, but never mind, leave it there. I was, as a head of the department, I had my own rooms, I had my own department, and I was free. And all, I was very free. I taught only about 10 lectures per week. 10 lectures per week. The rest of the time, I was preparing my messages. I was doing a lot of preparation because I had not so much time. And that's how I developed my Bible knowledge too, and doing the Lord's work. And, well, that's Mata Perguruan Sri Pinang, Pulau Pinang, and I retired from there. Alright, I retired from there. Mata. Okay. Now, I would just like to highlight certain contributions that I made in my service to encourage all those 21 and over, 40s, 50s, to do something for the Lord. I'm referring to this age, what I was doing at this age, my contributions, and then later on I have time, my commendation. Alright, I started with the Sunday school. My first service for the Lord officially was starting as teaching in a Sunday school. But not I was a member of Bamburu Gospel Hall. I never was a teacher in a Bamburu Gospel Hall. Bamburu Hall hardly used me at all when I was a young person. I had to serve outside because I had some poor relationship with the oversight there. Alright. I started with a Chinese Sunday school. And I taught Hokkien in the Chinese Sunday school. I did not know how to speak biblical Hokkien. And it took me a long time to study. But the Lord taught me. The Lord taught me. And, well, I went through one whole year teaching Hokkien Sunday school stories in the Chinese Sunday school. Then, after that, I told you, I went to Patuas, to Island Grace. There I was holding a children's campaign in Chisholm Road area. 5 evenings, every day and every night. I was only 17, 18 years old, 19 years old, at best, 19 years old. And why are young people today not doing anything for the Lord? Why do they just sit still and just allow things to go on? Do something for the Lord. Go out. Reach out. Then I was in Butterworth. It's the Batu Sunday School. I was superintendent. So, the Lord used me at the right time, at the right place. He opened the door. I did not have to apply anything much. He opened the door for me to step in. I had Bible study classes. That was my prime advantage. I started with getting 3 or 4 to study the Bible together. And after that, we went from home to home because we had no place. Bamburu Hall was not open to us. So we had no place. We had to study in Bible in various homes. And then finally, one elder took pity on us and opened his house for us at 51 Service Road. That was the last Bible class I had together with the young people. And then after that, I was transferred to Bartlett Gospel Hall and I started teaching the Bible. Then I went, I got together some adults and started teaching them also. Then, after that, I got a group of young people into my house, Bethel, and started every Friday teaching the Bible to them, potentials. Many of those in the, I call it BBC, Bethel Bible Class, many of those people in the BBC today are elders and are also leaders of the assemblies. Then I had an assembly Bible class in Sungai Nibong. You all know about it. 10 years teaching the Bible. Now, what I want to emphasize is, I did not wait for elders to appoint me to do such things. I waited upon the Lord, and the Lord opened the way. What are you doing with your life, if I may ask? What are you doing with your life? Are you just waiting for elders to open up, to do everything for you, to spoon feed you? Or are you waiting for the Lord to open up the ways for you? At this young age, I could do all these things for the Lord. By pioneers, started work. When the screw, when I went to SDTI, I found out there was no witness group. Then I found out there was one at the Teachers Technical Training Institute, TTC. I got them together and I started one in SDTC. Today, there's a teachers college, there's a witness group in SDTI because of what I've done. PFS. When I was in Plainview School, I told you I was introduced to the prayer group. It was informal and it was illegal. Later on, as I told you again, I was transferred to Penelope School to be a teacher. As a teacher, one day, I heard a call from the PA system. Mr. Ang, come and report to me now. It was the headmaster talking. I went to the office. Sir, what is the matter? He said, Mr. Ang, I have been watching you. You are a very strange person. All the other teachers, I have got to supervise and to look at them. But you seem to be quite free because you do your work every time. Why is that? I said, sir, you do not need to supervise me. I have a higher supervisor up there. He supervises me. And I dare not cheat because he sees me every time. Oh, then I told him about myself being a Christian. He was very impressed. He said, I'd like you to speak to my wife one day. But anyway, is there anything I can do? Sir, there is a Christian Winners Group in Plainview School. It has been there since I was a schoolboy. It's not official, it's illegal. Can you recognize it officially? Oh yes, no problem. And on Friday, assembly day, he announced Plainview School Winners Group is now official and now appears at the Free School magazine. The Ustach heard about it, was very angry. He climbed down from the stage. He went through the corridor of the free school, through the common room, banged the swing doors of the teacher's room, went to his car and fumed that the Christian Winners Group was now recognized. And he saw me as I was walking home. Mr. Ang, I challenge you, debate with me. If your Christianity is true, then you become a Muslim. I become a Christian. If you are my Muslim, my Islam is true, you become a Muslim. I said, no, I'm not interested in debating with you. First of all, I do not know Malay well. You do not know English well. I cannot speak to you. So, since that time, after today, Penang Free School Witness Group is now recognized. Likewise, MPSP, Matat Pergeruan Sri Penang, there was also an official Witness Group. I applied for it to be official, and now it's recognized by the Ministry of Education. So, you see, all these things you can do for the Lord. Nobody tells me, nobody told me what to do, and nobody need have to tell you what to do. But if you find that you wait on the Lord speaks to you, wait upon the Lord, tell him, and he will open the door for you. All right. Then also, in the service of the Lord, I began to hold training classes. With the knowledge I gained as a teacher, I taught Sunday school teachers how to teach. Metro teaching skills, how to introduce lessons to children, how to conclude a lesson, how to conduct a lesson proper. I held a number of Sunday school teaching courses for the assemblies in Penang. And then I also introduced, at that time, there was no audio visual aids used, only the manual visual aids, like toys and so on. I introduced the OHP, the overhead projector. And I was the first to introduce it to the assemblies in Penang. I was invited by Kuantan Gospel Hall to conduct a course on the use of the OHP. I was invited by many assemblies and all the assemblies in Penang how to use the OHP. And what I'm suggesting to you is use what you know in your profession for the Lord's work. See, today, I'm an old man, perhaps in my dinosaur age. I cannot keep up with the development in computer science and technology. There are many of you who are very good in it. Do something. Teach us, old dinosaurs, how to use a computer, how to use the phone. Teach us how to use the PowerPoint to put up a proper presentation. Teach us. Why are you not doing anything? Is it the Lord is giving you the knowledge? Use it to help others. Start it with a course of 4 or 5 people among yourselves. Then when you are recognized, then it will be a bigger group and so on. So this is what I'm suggesting to you. Your training and so on. Then I started. I was very concerned about assembly work. That in the assemblies, many of them have gone away from the Lord. And many hardly know anything. I started the Residential Bible School to teach the youth, the leaders of the assemblies in Malaysia, how to be good leaders, biblical leaders of the assemblies. The Residential Bible School lasted 5 years. What you know about the residential today is not the same. Ours was 2 months solid Bible study in the school, doing homework, doing practical work. It was very tough, and there were 2 certificates given. 1 certificate for merit, for those who did well, and 1 certificate for attendance. This is not the same as the Residential Bible School today. So you read about it in the Diaconia, but it is not the same. This is the old. It lasted 5 years only, because after that, we don't find leaders to train anymore, so we just left it there. Then GLOW. When they wanted to have GLOW in Taiping, I was there also. I was invited to be there to give feedback to them. So, you see, what I'm trying to say is, do not wait for your elders to tell you to do this, to do that. As wait upon the Lord, as the Lord opens up the way, do it. Open up the way and do it for the Lord. Northern Assembly Fellowship Camp, NRFC, that you will see today. I was very concerned about the singles in our assemblies. There's so many singles, good brothers, good sisters, and yet they are not back together. I was very concerned. They had no opportunity to come together. Why? Because they're so busy for the Lord in the assembly. So I organized this camp to bring them together so that they will know the Lord, so that they have the social life together. So have a vision and do it for the Lord. I was in my 30s only at that time. I put it over to the Assembly Leaders Conference. I put it over to the Elversight. Just have the courage to do it. Never mind if they think you are stupid. Just do it. And let's see how the Lord operates. The Lord is faithful. Today in Penang, we have the Penang Assemblies Partnership, where we bring together all the assemblies in Penang to consult each other. I was very concerned because each assembly was working according to its own plan. I was very concerned. So I spoke to all the elders, and together with Mr. Daniel, we came, brought them together, and we discussed. And we started the Penang Assemblies Partnership, PAP. So these were things I did. I was a nobody. A nobody. But I just, because of the Lord's vision, because of the Lord's burden upon me, I spoke up. I was also involved in the D work. I was involved in Scripture Union work, MEF, the Malaysian Evangelistic Fellowship, under Dr. G.G. James. I conducted an evangelistic campaign for the whole of Penang state. I got all the churches together, Methodists, Lutherans, Church of England. I spoke to them, I went to them, and I told them, I brought them together. I said, let's come together for an evangelistic one whole week. We had it in Packet Avenue School. Now, what I'm trying to emphasize is, when I was doing all these things, I was a nobody. I was just an ordinary Christian. In many years there, not even an elder. But because of the pressing vision of the Lord has placed upon me, I was brave enough to go forward to do for the Lord. Please, don't just come and go, come and go. The time is very short. I find now that I cannot do so many things already at my age. The time is too short. And if you don't do anything for the Lord now, when are you going to do it? Until you are 80? So, with this I'll stop because there's not much time. Next week I'll continue with my commendation. Why I was commended to the Lord. This is something again new. Nobody ever did it before, but I introduced this. So, do not be afraid to introduce new things for the Lord if they are biblical. If they are biblical. Consult, if you need to, with the elders, the leaders. But do it unto the Lord. Seek Lord's will. See, the Lord opens doors. And you just have to walk through. And the Lord can do wonderful things for you if you want to. So this is my challenge to all of you who are sitting here this morning. And I do trust that we may see Sungai Ara Gospel Hall, not with so many chairs empty, but with chairs to be included in the years go by. Today I see our sister Yilin in the work in Batu Pulau. That was my vision too. But I was not the one to implement it. I had a vision to have a work in Batu Pulau. Because we have got up to here, Sungai Ara. We need to have a work in Batu Pulau. And I'm so happy that somebody took up the challenge and started the work in Batu Pulau. May you all continue to serve the Lord in that way. Is it possible to know God's will? Yes, it is possible. But God will reveal His will to you only one step at a time. Can you be sure of God's will? No, you cannot. It's only when you look back and you see, wow, how wonderful the Lord is. So, you have to trust the Lord when you go forward. Ask Him to open the doors or to shut the doors if it is not His will. Can you know His will? Yes. But not immediately. When you look back and know why He sent you there, why He posted you there. May the Lord bless all of you. Let us all pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we commit ourselves to You. We ask that You be with us even as we seek to consider seriously what it is to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto You. That we should not be transformed to this world, but be conformed, so that we may prove what is the good, acceptable and perfect will of God. Lord, let Thy will be impressed upon our lives, and make us be what You want us to be, that we may live this life of so short years to the benefit of many others and to the glory of Thy name. We ask these things for Thy honor, Lord, in Christ's precious name. Amen.